What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Round podcast. It's your boy, Matt Barile. Got to tell you all real quick about our friends from Big Friendly Productions. Now, Big Friendly Productions, BFP, they specialize in creating merchandise for bands, artists, and even lifestyle brands. With their in-house equipment, they can produce shirts, branded hats, and more, as well as offer graphic design services. Very important stuff here. You know, they offer order fulfillment to handle your online orders and ship merch directly to your fans. They handle all of that stuff for you. And whether you're getting your first shirt or you're going on a 40-show run out on the road, hit them up for all your merchandising needs. Check them out, bigfriendlyproductions.com, or email them, merchandising@bigfriendlyproductions.com. Shout out to BFP, Alex, Page, and the crew down there. We support them and love them here at In the Round, and we appreciate their support. Y'all be sure to check them out. Also, rate, like, subscribe to the pod. Now let's get into today's episode. Dude, well, how the fuck are you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm great.
Hey, buddy.
I'm great, man. Glad to be here.
It's cool we're doing this because you've been... You and I go back to the days of Clubhouse being being a thing,
man.
Which it was only a thing for maybe about 2 weeks during here in Nashville because there was a big snowstorm and everybody got onto it because none of us could go to the bars. So we all had the network over Clubhouse because we couldn't go to Red Door. And you, at that point, you were still in Mississippi. I was like, man, this kid talks really slow. His name's Paxton. I don't know many Paxtons. His last name, P, like the letter, but P-E-A-Y. I was like, this kid's cool. Then you said you were from Starkville. And I was like, dude, I fuck with Rick's.
Like, I was the one oddball out, I felt like. I got on there pretty much every night. I started fucking. When they're like groups and like times where people would start stuff.
Yep, yeah.
And I would get on there because I was trying to like kind of learn the gist of like moving here.
Yeah.
And I started getting on every night, and I started to recognize your name, and then, like, Gary and Charlie would get on, and then Mitch, and then I knew who Justin and Clay were, so, like, I kind of figured out who everybody was, and then that's when, like, I started kind of getting in and chatting, asking questions, and then ultimately that led to me, like, moving here.
Which is
somehow just crazy.
Such a wild story, and how that happened, and then you moved up here, and we got you playing on rounds.
I actually played your round the first time I played it. I didn't even live here. I drove from Mississippi to my grandparents who live like in Athens, Alabama. I drove from there up here, made the trip down to Red Door after, and then left there about 2 o'clock, went back, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm definitely moving up here.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it. First trip up here, I loved it.
That was your first trip?
That was my first trip, like, ever doing, like, besides, like, going to Broadway and doing, like, the
playing, tourist. Playing in the round was your first trip?
Like, my first trip, like, coming up here doing the whole Midtown, the music side of Nashville, yeah. Not the tourist side. You know, that's a different story down there on Broadway, man.
When did you come up and start going out on Broadway? When was your first
so
trip?
So, I came up here New Year's of 2020, maybe. Mississippi State played up here in the Music City Bowl, so we came up here for that. Did New Year's up here, and really the only thing I knew about Nashville was Broadway, and Broadway on New Year's, which I'm not the type of person, I don't want to be in the big crowd.
Yeah.
I'll play for one, but I don't want to be in
you're
it.
You're from Starkville. You're not, you know.
I'm from middle of nowhere, man.
Yeah, you don't, you're big.
I actually grew up 30 minutes north of Starkville in a small town called Phoebe.
Phoebe.
And it's my whole family that lives there. I'm not joking. Like,
how many stoplights?
One. We have one caution light, two gas stations, and a diner. And that's it.
Not even a Dollar General.
No way. Too small for that. When I tell you my whole family lives there, so my grandmother had 14 brothers and sisters.
No shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So all of us pretty much stayed in this one community. And it's, I probably have 72 second cousins. Like, we grew up like within a mile apart. We'd ride four-wheelers to the next one's house, and like I'd have the yard where we played football and baseball. That's where we grew up, barefoot, running around the backyard. And then my cousin's house, we had like bike ramps and dirt bike track over there. So we'd ride to his house and fish and do all that whatnot. I mean, I grew up the perfect country, simple living life.
Because like people send their kids off to these highly expensive summer camps, but
I lived in the summer camp.
You lived in the summer camp
every
year round.
Every day. Like, I got home from school, and I did what any country kid would
how
do.
Far, how far? So you're in a town that small. Is the school like a regional kind of high school? Because there's so many small towns.
I actually ended up going to Starkville Academy, which is a private school in Starkville. So it was about 30 minutes for me every day. So when I started driving, it was 30 minutes for me to school every day, 30 minutes back, which, I mean, I didn't mind it. I really didn't have a choice either. Like, the public school that was, I mean, it was still 30 minutes down the road. It was 6A, and they were really good at football and not very good at baseball, which is what
You're
I played.
A baseball guy.
So I was just really not interested at all in it. So we ended up going to Starkville Academy, and that's where I
And taking those 30-minute drives, that's where you fall in love. Your love of country music grows because you're just listening on the to the radio or
the radio every morning. I can remember, like, before I started driving.
What was the local morning show out there? Do you remember the guys' names that
remember,
were on there?
I can't remember their names, but it was 94.9. Me and my mom listened to it every single morning on the way to school. And it was always like the newer country stuff. But my mom really influenced me. Like, she was big in any like early 90s stuff. I've heard it all, but where my influences really started when Jason Aldean started popping off, like, that's when I really fell in love with, like, the new era of the genre. And just watching him do it, I've probably seen him live like 6 times.
He's put on – my first time seeing Aldean, it was right – I might have actually been on fucking St. Patrick's Day. I think it was St. Patrick's Day. It was 2013. It was the year I graduated high school. And it was at Madison Square Garden.
Oh,
it was
wow.
The Night Train Tour. It was him.
That's
was
my favorite record.
Yep. Aldean headlining. And then direct support was Long Hair, Jake Owen. Barefoot Blue Jean Night had just come out. And then Baby Thomas Rhett.
That singing, was like prime time. Like,
Thomas
that
Rhett
was
singing,
my junior year at high school.
Yeah, Thomas Rhett singing Beer with Jesus. That's something, too. I didn't realize how close you and I are in age because you get lumped in. Because since you're newer to town, you get lumped
in
with all
class.
The kids.
Yeah.
Or baby D-gens.
Yeah, I'm in there with, like, you know, the anywhere from 19 to to me.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got our whole group.
Who else was at the further end of that spectrum? Like, how old's Sam Johnson?
Sam Johnson's 30, I think.
Okay.
Or either 29. He's 29 or 30. And then there's Christian. Christian's a year younger than me, and Eamon's a year younger than me. And Drew, my roommate.
Eamon's that old?
Yeah.
I would have thought Eamon was one on the younger side.
Oh, we're all in the kind of older top tier of the, you know, getting grandpas of our group.
And then you got the babies.
And then we've got the babies who were just kind of, they're learning.
You know what's funny? I've got some friends in town. I'm not going to say their names. But have you heard the nickname that some of the females give your whole crew?
No.
It refers more to the younger guys. Call you guys the daycare.
Oh, us?
The daycare.
I hope I'm not in that category.
You're on the older end. You got held back a couple grades.
I will say there have been times that I feel like even when I'm out with like the young ones, that I'm probably the wild one out of the group.
Yeah, which is what's funny.
I mean, it is, but they either need to step it up or I need to slow it down.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to figure that part out.
Yeah, well, they're getting there, and you do have such a cool crew of guys and girls that you've gotten to know from being here. And I one of the things that I kind of one of my proudest moments of doing the round, because there's been some cool shit that's happened there over the last few years. I started, and you guys were probably my experiment with this, where I started putting together new people that were newer to town, and I started sticking I forget if
that
I
was
did
the round I, with me Connor it, and Presley
Connor Presley and was Jono on that too?
It may have been Jono. I played with Jono one time on there.
Yeah, but what I did was all four of you I had seen or gotten DMs from. Like, I had heard about Connor through Wales,
okay,
the South Carolina connection. I'd heard about Presley through Ethan Willis, shout out another Mississippi boy.
Oh yeah.
Obviously had met you through like the club through Clubhouse, and we've been DMing, and you had said you'd love to play, and I was like, fuck it, let's give this kid a shot. And then Jono, I had met, like, it was just everybody had kind of all come to me, like, saying, hey, we want to play. I'm like, why not stick these
just
four
stick them
folks
all together,
together
and see what happens?
And now those are some of your best friends.
Yeah, man. Like, and it that's kind of crazy. That's where it started. Actually, me and Connor the next day wrote our first song together. Connor ended up putting that song out. But that's how our whole group chat started. I met Connor that night, me and Connor kind of stayed in touch, and then I think it was the next round that you put on. We got to where we were going every Tuesday, y'all were putting it on. And we were just meeting people. We were networking, and the group chat started, and we kind of just had our crew. It felt like, you know, we found our class, as y'all call it up here. And, man, it's been awesome. Shout out to the boys. They're a fun group.
They are fun, and everybody's kind of a little bit different, too. Yeah. And what I love about your crew especially, not everybody in the crew is an artist or even a writer. You've got a guy like Brennan who's similar to me, where he's a crew guy. He doesn't have any musical ability, but he's a good enough hang and enjoys the chaos of working with up and comers.
Yeah, shout out to Brennan for
kid works his ass off
for some of the stuff he deals with on the weekends.
But he's awesome. And then you've got guys like Jay Gant. You've got guys like Wade Davis. Like, you've got the young
kids
that are players.
Yeah, they're out there getting it.
And what's great is then you guys are looking for people to play in your bands.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's these kids that move up here that are, we want to be in a band with someone. And it just all lined up perfectly.
And that's what's nice. Like, if you get in a bind or something and you know, somebody that you regularly play with can't play, you've got several options in our group. And, like, everybody in the crew, I would say, is, you know, top tier. They're good at what they do.
Solid, dude. And you have a fun group of guys that you've had out on the road. I know you've borrowed the Heathens,
man,
for some runs. I know McElwain
McElwain's been with me a few times.
Yeah, a few times in town and out of town.
Yeah, we took we got Kansas City. I think that's where it was.
Kansas City, yeah. You guys went to.
What a trip that
and,
was.
And then obviously Mitch and Terry.
Oh yeah, we've done a bunch with them, and me and Terry actually got along way better than expected on the Kansas City trip. We were trying to make Terry hang, and I think I beat him the first night, but night two was no shot.
Well, then you had poor Logan.
Oh, yeah. Logan will get in there and get rowdy. Logan was – so the funny part about that whole trip is I think we buzz called out at like 6 that morning. Logan was still not there at 6:30. So the whole plan was like play a joke on Logan when he got there and be super serious, act really mad. So Logan pulls up and starts like trying to say, "Hey guys, I'm sorry." And Terry's just like, "Shut your mouth and get in the van." And we get in the van and he was like, "You know what happens when you're unprofessional? You get punished." And Terry walks out of the gas station with a 40 malt liquor. I don't even remember what it was. And we made Logan drink the whole way to Kansas City. Because, I mean, we got there and he had plenty of time to like rest up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he had a miserable trip, no doubt.
That's why you're not late for not.
Don't be late. Hey, don't be late for bus call.
Don't
guys.
Be late for bus call, van call.
Yeah, don't do that.
Sequoia call, Tahoe call.
Especially if you've got
in.
McElwain or Terry or Mitch with you, don't be late.
Yeah, don't be late. The Heathens have always taken pride in being on time.
They I will say that I don't time. Think McElwain's ever been late.
No, he's not late. And what their trick was to. They would go out, they'd get fucked up, but what they would do is they'd stay out wherever they were at, they'd pop in the hotel room, grab their shit, and then they'd be waiting outside the van, or Matt usually had a key, and they'd be sitting in the van, and it's like, well, if we're at the van if we're rolling out at 7, we can't be late if we're at the van at 6:15, and they'll just sit in the van and drink and whatever, and it was a good system. They were
the
first ones in the van, always, always. It was never a time they were late.
Props to them, man.
Good. So for you, we've talked about. It's funny because we just did a our last episode was with Lauren Watkins.
Okay,
and we had Wade on the episode as well.
Oh yeah, I watched part of that. Or
Wade's
listened to it on the way here. Yesterday.
Motherfucker, he's awesome. And Lauren's a real sweetheart, and got a lot of bright things coming in the future. And we talked, and it was cool because she's an Ole Miss girl, hottie toddy Oxford. But what was fun was she. What was funny was when I asked her, like, what's your favorite place you played so far? She was like, I really love Rick's. Which to
I
me
would
is
agree
just
with that.
Such a cool thing. To me, Rick's is, and we got to give a shout out to Rick, the owner.
Absolutely.
And Rick, I know, watches this podcast. I get texts from him about this podcast. Depending on who the guest is, he'll watch all the episodes. We have a lot of friends from the road that watch these things, and I'm sure he'll be tuning into this one because you're having a good support system in your local scene. I think is so important, especially in country music and being from the Southeast. It is such a big deal, and you have such a good system down there. And the story Starful of how you and Rick, awesome. The story of how you and Rick got linked up, and how Rick and the gang down there at Rick's Cafe gave you a chance. It's such a cool story,
man.
Like tell that story. Like,
so I started playing there. I've been doing like the live show thing for, I don't know, going on 4 or 5 years now, I think 4 years. And I'd always wanted to play at Rick's. I remember when I turned 18, I was still in high school. Corey Smith played. So me and two of my other buddies went and stayed at his sister's house, who was out of town. So we went pre-gamed, went out, we went to Rick's, watched Corey Smith. The show was awesome. And still at that point in my life, I really wasn't interested in music. I had been at an earlier point, but then it really wasn't my main focus. I kind of just kind of figuring everything out. And learned to play guitar at 21 and got linked up with a couple of my cousins. They were in a band playing, and they needed somebody to sing, so we started a country band. And my uncle and my grandfather have done music their whole life, so it just kind of fit. It felt right.
Yeah.
But it was never really anything serious at that point. And I reached out to Rick and was like, hey, man, I would love to play here sometime. And he shoots me an email, and he's like, meet me at the bar. And he's like, do you want to open for Jason Miller, who's another guy from back home? I think it was like 2 weeks from then. I was like, yeah, I'll be here. So we go up there and play, and, you know, probably wasn't the best show we've ever done, but he liked it, and he gave me a chance at headlining there. And for probably a year and a half, didn't put maybe 25 or 50 people in there. And he just kind of kept giving me a chance, let me come back, and we went to College World Series in 2021. I had a bunch of friends on that team. We went and won Omaha. Great time. If you've never been, you need to go. Came back, and it was like the third game. We were partying that night, and Rick texts me, and he's like, hey, do you want to play the after party after the parade? And I was like, when is it? He's like, 2 days. I'm like, well, I don't have a voice right now, but I'll figure it out. Yeah, let's do it. I get all the guys together. We get it figured out. So we get there to play this show, and we're not really expecting, you know, to be as big as it was. I think we put 1,100 people in there that night. And, man, it was wild. And from that point on, I think we sold 3 or 4 out in a row. And just, like, seeing that place kind of rally behind me and rally behind that team that night really gave me a boost and gave me a chance to perform in front of all these people. You know, kind of show them what it was about. And going back home, there's really nothing like it. Like, the support that I get from that town and the people in that town and Rick himself. I mean, Rick's done so much for me just by letting me play there.
Rick has done a lot for just country music.
Absolutely,
and for acts that cut their teeth. I mean, the history of that place.
And he gets it, too. Like, he knows, like, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and the fact that he takes chances on guys and girls out of the Mississippi scene, is it speaks volume, because there are a lot of clubs. I mean, McElwain can tell you, being from Alabama, there's guys that believe in you and will give you that opportunity, even when you may not deserve it. Nobody really deserves shit. You got to work for what you can get. But then there's other guys that won't give a chance.
And I mean, and that's the thing. Like,
that's what makes Rick so special.
I think I got lucky in finding Rick and kind of getting in with him. I mean, there were times that I was just like, look, man, if you don't want to bring me back, I get it. Because, you know, we're not putting anybody in here. I think you're paying more in electricity bill than I probably brought in here tonight. But, I mean, we just kind of hung on to it and kept plugging with it. And, man, like, see where we're at now when we go home and play a show, or really anywhere in Mississippi at this point. It's been kind of crazy to watch it. I mean, it's changed so much over the past 2 years.
And it's continuing to grow outside of Mississippi.
It is, man. And, like, getting to travel and play shows, like I tell everybody, like, getting to do what I do for my job is awesome. Like, I love it. There's nothing better than getting to go do something you love every day.
Yeah. How much do you miss playing baseball?
Oh, man, I miss it every day.
I feel like this time of year is when it really hits.
It really does. I love baseball. Like, I mean, I love football. I'm from the South, obviously, but baseball is like the one sport I fell in love with. So when I quit playing after high school, I started coaching a travel ball team. And, like, it just relit that flame for me, man. Like, I've always loved the game, and and getting to go out and coach. I coached a couple kids. One is actually committed to Mississippi State right now, and a couple are committed to JUCOs. He committed in ninth grade to Mississippi State, which is kind of crazy. But just getting to watch kids that love the game of baseball go out there and play it and just be a part of it.
What's his name? Plug the kid so I can look for him.
Ethan Pulliam.
When he's hopefully pitching. When he's hopefully playing in pinstripes for the Yankees.
Well, hopefully not the Yankees. Go Braves.
If he's with the Yankees, he'll be making a lot of money.
Hey, I'll be happy for wherever the kid goes. I'm super proud of him. Ethan Pulliam's his name.
What is he? Where does he play in the field?
I think they've got him playing middle infield now. He played outfield for us just because the kid is wicked fast. But I mean, he's an athlete. You could put him anywhere on the field.
Do you like the new baseball rules in the MLB, or has it been kind of weird for you?
Man, I understand them. I do get them, but I think the umps need to slack back a little bit.
I personally like them because it's making the game faster. I mean,
I do like the clock. Love the clock.
The clock is cool. And I'm interested to see if somebody steals 100 bases this year with the bases being the size of a Domino's pizza box.
I feel like it'll give them a chance to, but
and only the two throws over.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I understand what they're doing. They're trying to speed the game up, but I feel like baseball is just a game that you just have to play, and there's no time limit. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's a traditionalist kind of.
It's baseball. It's America's pastime.
When did you start playing?
Oh, T-ball. I mean, I played my whole life.
And your big ass was a pitcher, right? That was your thing?
I was, like, when I got into, like, 9, 10 years old, and then I really didn't pitch much. I pitched a little bit in high school, but I played outfield. I like to make the long throw. That's what I wanted to do, or either, you know, running after a fly ball, slow down a little bit so you can make the diving catch every time. That was my thing.
Yeah, was that decision hard for you then to stop playing after high school? Like, or was it just kind of a realization?
It was honestly kind of a realization. When I graduated high school, I was 5'11". I wasn't this tall.
What?
No, I swear I grew. Like, by my sophomore year of college, I'd finally reached about my full growth. And I was just kind of always like the small, lanky guy, kind of like I am now. I mean, I'm 6'4" and just lanky, but I was like that in high school and just really didn't have much control of my body. And I was just like, well, baseball is obviously probably not going to work out. So what do I do now? So I just kind of hung around Starfall. I went to school. I enrolled at EMCC, which is a community college where Last Chance U was filmed. And I guess you could call me doing a year there. I mean, I didn't really go to class, but I enrolled in school. But I spent more time working and just kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do until...
What jobs was 18-year-old Paxton P doing?
So I started working at Mississippi State at this place called Forest Operations, just doing just like odd job stuff for the forestry department out there, because Mississippi State's a big forestry major school, like huge. That and agriculture.
Well, agriculture, obviously.
It's a big deal there.
They give you a cowbell when you commit there.
Well, see, the thing is, when you can't buy your own cowbell. Somebody has to give you
your
own.
Yeah, it has to be given to you.
Yeah, it's just tradition. I mean, that's how it works, but...
You know Trey's got a cowbell, right?
Does he really?
Yeah, I don't think it was given. I think it was taken. Well, at a frat party years ago, but that's all been resolved.
I don't blame you for that one. I would do that too.
What is forestry?
Like, I really couldn't tell you the exact definition of it, but there's like a bunch of different like national parks people. They have to go through like forestry school, and it's like kind of the study of wildlife.
The study of the woods.
Pretty much, yeah.
That makes so much sense, going to Starkville, Mississippi.
I did that for a few years, and then...
Farms in the woods.
Well, then I actually went and worked for a farmer up in north of West Point, Mississippi for 2 years.
What were you doing for him? Just like building fences?
We ran about 2,200 head of cows and farmed probably around 5,000 acres of row crop. We did cotton, corn, and soybeans.
How hot does that shit get out there? So you're in Mississippi. Rough. That's brutal.
I mean, you're in a tractor most of the days. Okay. I spend 15 hours in a tractor 6 days a week, and it drives itself. I mean, you get to the end of the row, you turn it around, you press a button, throw the steering wheel up, and it goes. I mean, it's rough. Like, people sit there and laugh and wonder how I say that's a hard job, but you go spend 15 hours in a tractor cab listening to only the radio 6 days a week. Listen to the same songs on rotation. I mean, it gets rough.
Is that when you like kind of started writing songs, when you had that free time?
Really? when I moved from
when,
that
when
job.
When I say free time, I mean like that alone time. That's where in a tractor.
If there was a camera in there, I sang all day long. And it was no telling what kind of music I was listening to because I was just kind of shuffling through at some points. But when I moved jobs is when I started playing in that band with my cousins. And
what was the name of the band?
Third Generation, because we were the third generation of musicians for our family. So we thought it was fitting.
Yeah.
And I really moved jobs just because I knew I could go work for this contractor, work 7 to 3 every day, and kind of put time into figuring out if I want to do the music thing. And then we kind of split off from our group, and I started doing the artist thing and really started hitting it hard, and that's kind of when I started looking at up here. That's when that became an option.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. And you've put out now how many songs since you've been?
Since I've been in town, I put out 2.
And you've got the third coming out.
The third one is
coming
out.
It's actually out right now with this podcast airing. Hey, buddy. And it's originally you had planned on dropping another song.
I did.
But this one has a certain connection to you based on just some stuff that's been going on back home.
Yeah, man. I had this song idea when I moved to town and really could never find the right time to write it. And I tried it by myself a few times and it just didn't work out. And I walked in to write with McCoy Moore and James Mason. I think I'd already pitched this idea to McCoy one time, and I threw it out there again. And he looks at me, he's like, are you sure you want to write this today? And I was just like, yeah, give me a second. And I walk outside, and it's just like the most picture-perfect Nashville day, one of those 72, 75, just sunny skies. And I walked in, I was like, all right, man, let's do it. Like, I'm ready to put this song out. And what that song means to so many people back home and just kind of the story of where it came from. I'm ready for everybody to hear this thing. I've been holding on it for way too long.
What's the story? So, hey, buddy, it's a sentimental kind of thing, right?
I really had this idea. I was riding around one night, just riding back roads, what we call the loop. And it's just a big loop around the refuge. If people from Starkville know what I'm talking about if they're watching this. And me and my friends would go ride it, you know, skipping school or, you know, just after class when we were in college. And one of our buddies ended up passing away. And I kept this idea, you know, wanting to write it if there was, you know, I just want to have a conversation. It's like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Like, and I never saw it unfolding like it did and being able to touch people like it did. We do a golf tournament every year down there, and I got to go play it at the golf tournament last year, and just to see his family and the way they react to it and how much they love it. It means the world to them, and that means the world to me.
And what's going to be really cool about this is that there's folks all over the world that have that same story within a community or with a family member.
And I've said it since day one. Every time I play the song I wrote this song for people that had the same feeling that I felt, that my friends felt, that his family felt. And anybody that goes through something like that, because it's hard, and you ask yourself questions all the time, really don't know the answers why, but I wanted that to be a song for people, not just for me. It obviously felt good to, you know, finally get it out and get it on paper, but for everybody. Not just me, I want this song to be for everybody.
Yeah, man, it's important to have music that connects with people.
Absolutely.
And that to me is the growth of you as an artist, because you've got the playing thing down. You've been to every shithole that you can cut your teeth in the Southeast, man. And you've gotten the headline. Stories. You've gotten the headline and sell out the hometown mecca. It's a goal for me. Any act that is in the Southeast or any act in country music, when you're at that club level, like to get where you're at. And of course, there's some exceptions. There's some artists, especially now with the way the internet works, that have that pop without having to do the shows and whatever. And it's got different paths.
Oh, for sure.
But if you're coming up from the organic way, the grassroots way that you are, the way that Trey and the guys came up, the way that Muscadine came up, Riley, Luke Combs, Morgan, anybody, Hardy, anybody out of the Southeast, Riley Green, selling out a place like Rick's is a huge deal. And everybody has a Rick's in their town. For Morgan Wallen, it was fucking Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe
in Knoxville. For Luke Combs, it's Coyote Joe's in Charlotte. For Riley, it's Iron City in Birmingham. For Muskegon, it was Soul Kitchen in Mobile. For Trey, it's Iron City in Birmingham. For you, it's Rick's. Like, you've got that part down of doing the shows, and you're cutting your teeth in places like the Blue Room, which we'll get into Statesboro, Georgia, because it is God's country, and I'm trying to plan a trip with Nikki T to go down there.
Can I go?
Be awesome. Well, we'll try to line it up when you're down there. Honestly,
let's do that,
it'd be great to do that. If Sweet Boy's not on the road, maybe we can bring him too.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a lot of friends in Statesboro, Georgia. The fact what I'm getting to with this is now the shows obviously matter, and playing shows and doing the live music thing, that's great. But having the music that you believe in that connects with people, you've grown so much as a writer and an artist to where you can put out a song like Hey Buddy that's going to resonate with so many people.
It's been crazy to see like how my writing style and just my music style has changed since I got up here. And I'm not that person. Like, I know people are hell-bent on, like, having that certain sound, and I get like staying in that, you know, kind of range. But if I put out a song that's, you know, a little more rockier than, you know, it is, you know, old 90s style, it's just because I believe in it and I like it. And I feel like everybody else will too. I don't feel like you should have to put out just a certain sound of music. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do. I've got 4 songs ready to rock and roll that'll be coming out this year, and all of them are different. And I'm excited about it.
Are they recorded up here now, or are you still going down to luxurious Boaz, Alabama?
So, Josh is actually coming up here now.
Really?
Yeah, Josh has been coming up here. Shout out to my producer, Josh Bright. He's awesome.
Friend of the program, Josh Bright. We haven't met in person, but I've communicated with him quite a bit.
Man, I need to get Josh up here.
Because he's integral. And I feel I'm like an honorary Alabamian because of
you might as well be. You've been with him long enough.
I've been to Heflin and Boaz and Anniston and Gadsden. I mean, if you go to those places.
You've been to the Iron Bowl.
You're
official Alabamian.
I've shaken the hand of Alexander Shenora and Roll Tide Willie on the same day.
Roll Tide Willie from TikTok?
Yeah.
Me
and Trey hung out with him that whole day. We walked around the quad.
Was he barefoot?
No, he had shoes on. It was cold. It was raining. But yeah, we were with him and Chad, his handler.
Yeah.
It was me, Trey's childhood friend, Frankie, and then Willie and Chad. And we were we had talked about meeting up with Willie. Like, Trey and Willie and Chad had been going back in the DMs, and it was like, possibly we're going to meet up with this guy. And at the time, and at that point, I mean, it's still big, and he's still very much viral and a huge thing in the South. But at the Iron Bowl, like, it was a huge deal, and that time was when it was really growing. So I'm walking around with Trey, and I'm thinking, man, we're in Tuscaloosa. I'm with Trey. Everybody's going to know who he is, and we're going to get pulled over, and we're going to get pulled aside, and we're going to be taking pictures, which did happen a little bit. Then we linked up with Willie at the clock tower. And I tell you, we couldn't walk 5 steps. Willie, come here, get you a swaller. I watched that man drink until his skin turned green.
He probably drank all day.
I mean,
I would give him a beer.
Because the thing is, you don't say no to, you got to have the interaction with the fans. And his Auburn fans, Alabama fans,
everybody loves it.
It took like an hour and a half to get back to the tent that we were like partying at, because everybody was like, Willie, young hot sorority girls, older dudes, grandparents, trashy guys with mullets, everything. Auburn, the well put together.
Let him run for governor.
Honestly, yeah. Willie was just, it was a wild experience hanging out with Roll Tide Willie. And then we're up in, Trey balled out for the Iron Bowl, which I get why he did, because he grew up going to Alabama.
Was that
games.
Your first like SEC game?
Yeah.
How do I
top that? I can't. I want to go to an Egg Bowl.
I would say the thing about the Egg Bowl is our rivalry is a little more rough.
What do you mean a little bit more rough?
We're an hour.
They made a
we're
damn,
an hour and a half apart.
Yeah, they made a damn documentary, and that crazy guy killed the trees at Auburn.
I mean, yeah, that has happened. Yeah, I would just say, like, from inside our rivalry is more than just football, not just the Iron Bowl.
Well, yeah.
Every sport that.
Yeah, I feel like Auburn and Alabama's like that too.
For the most part.
But I also feel like the reason that the Alabama-Auburn rivalry and the reason that the Egg Bowl rivalry is so big is because you guys don't have professional sports teams.
No, and it's, that's your only option.
Yeah.
You've got two D1 SEC schools in your state.
And that are very successful in most of the athletic programs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like,
and I'm a big baseball fan.
Yeah, me too.
So I want to go to a baseball game at State. Like, that's on my list. And I have a little bit more free time now, so maybe we can make that happen.
We definitely need to do that.
I'm a heckler. I'm a New Yorker.
You free Saturday?
Saturday, this week's crazy, dude.
It's going to be wild.
Well, this week is just nuts of just stuff going on because we've got McIlwain Monday tonight, which we'll get more into McIlwain Monday as we get further along with this podcast, but which we're very excited about, the luxurious Rusty Nail. We've got that tonight. Then tomorrow, I did a pod recording before you got here. I'm recording with you now. Tomorrow, Nikki T's got a pod with Kurt. And then we're doing our round.
Full force.
We have In the Round at Live Oak. It's a WME takeover. And we're doing a live podcast with Brian Martin and Lainey Gardner on stage to kick that night off. Then Wednesday is a little bit more chill. Thursday, we've got what I call, we have our meeting. It's called Northern Aggression is our meeting. And it's like guys from the North, and we just get together, smoke cigars.
I was about to say, do y'all go to a cigar shop? Is that where y'all go hang out?
We go to Nikki T's now, but we go to Razor Alley headquarters. And then Friday, I'm going to Luke Combs concert, which I'm super stoked about.
Jealous, man.
Last time I saw Luke Combs, it was on the beach in Wildwood, Atlantic City, opening up for Brantley Gilbert in 2017. And I was backstage with him because I had interviewed him on my college radio show around then. That was when I was still drinking.
That was like small Luke days.
Well, I mean, it was happening.
Was that like right after Hurricane?
That was like Hurricane when it rains and pours. Around when Brantley put out the Devil Don't Sleep because that record and that tour was. I saw it in the arena, and then I saw it that summer, and it was BG, Tucker Bethard, Luke, and Brian Davis.
What a lineup!
It was sick. It was awesome. But this will be my first time seeing Luke in 6-7 years, and it's at a stadium, and we're in the pit, and it's Luke, Riley, Mitchell, and I think Brent Cobb. I think Brent's on that one. Brent Cobb's on that one, which is sick.
Is that at Bridgestone?
No, it's at Nissan. It's at the stadium.
Oh, it's at the stadium.
Yeah, we're in the pit.
Oh, y'all have an experience. Yeah,
being in the Rays Rowdy crew, it's front row, don't go. So you get the pit tickets. So we bought our pit tickets on the other day, and then Saturday Nikki's going to both Luke Combs shows. I'm going Saturday. I'm going to the I don't know if you're a big comedy guy or not really. Do you watch comedians? Probably watch Theo Vaughn just because.
I mean, I watch Theo's podcast all the time.
So there's a guy named Nate Bargazzi who's a big time comedian. He's actually from here in Old Hickory. But so this week is actually Nashville Comedy Week. This is the week of the Nashville Comedy Festival. So like every comedian around the world is in Nashville this week, which is sick.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to Red Door tonight.
Yeah, Red Door is going to be chaos. Great week for Red Door. I didn't even think about that. But fucking Nate Bargazzi is headlining at Bridgestone. Sold out show.
Okay, that's kind of a big deal this week
in
town.
It's a big week. I've got a full week. So unfortunately, I can't make the game Saturday.
I'll take you sometime.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to go. I grew up, McIlwain's been to baseball games with me. Even if I don't like care, like we went to, it actually popped up my memories. Last year we were on we had all those Kid Rock shows and we were in Minneapolis and we had time to kill. So we went to a Minnesota Twins game. It was the Twins.
Do you wear a Twins jersey?
I didn't wear a Twin. I actually wore a Yankees hat.
Who would have guessed that?
But
so on brand.
But it was funny. So Terry's one of the most eccentric sports fans I've ever met. I mean, obviously he's Roll Tide.
He's
Birmingham born and raised. Lives in the Tuscaloosa area too, which is cool. So, but for his football and baseball teams, he loves the 49ers and he loves the Mariners, which is odd.
That's very odd.
But again, you look at Terry, I mean, he looks like he's in his 50s, but he's really in his mid 30s. He grew up in that time of when it was like T.O. and Steve Young with the 49ers. And then he got to watch like Griffey Jr. and A-Rod and Randy Johnson.
He's seen some good players come through.
But so that game, the stars aligned where we're in Minneapolis, like second or third game of the season, and it's the Mariners happen to be playing the Twins. Terry'd never seen the Mariners play live. So we go to this game, and the Twins have Carlos Correa, I fucking hate being a Yankees fan, cheating scum. And then the Yankees had just traded Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela over. So I'm like, all right, Terry, I'm a Mariners fan today. Let's go Julio Rodriguez. Let's go M's. So I am heckling the Twins at a Twins home game.
Oh, and no.
Those fans don't know how to react. I was yelling shit. I was yelling at Correa. We were on the third base. We were in the upper deck, and then we worked down. I mean, mid-market baseball. You can get right up.
You don't StubHub and see what tickets haven't sold.
Well, not even that. You just look down. You just migrate down. And you've met Wild Greg.
Oh yeah, I've met Wild Greg.
So that
times.
Was a Kid Rock show with a. We used to do after parties. So it'd be Trey would do the stuff with Bob, and then we'd do a full band Trey Lewis show after party at certain venues in certain markets. So in Minneapolis, we did the Kid Rock after party. Was at Wild Greg's Minneapolis, Greg's hometown.
Jeez.
So Greg came to the baseball game with us. So we're at a baseball game. It's me. McElwain, actually, I don't think came to this. I think McElwain was too hungover from Omaha. We were in Omaha the night before, so he was resting up, being a good old sweet boy, you know. But we had it was me, Terry, Mitch, Nick Gorman, Ben Miller, and Wild Greg, and I was just yelling at Correa. We get down, we're like right field, like the right fielder can see me, like I'm yelling.
Knows who you are.
Yeah, like we're lower level. Like a foul ball comes, it could hit me in the head. Like we're right there. We're lefty at the plate.
It's like, who's this Yankees fan yelling at me? And they
finally started like telling me kind of to shut the fuck up. At that point, the Mariners were up by like 7 runs.
Yeah, it didn't matter at that point.
Yeah, but I say that to say, like, even if I don't have a horse in the race, as long as it's not like in baseball, as long as it's not a Mets, Red Sox, or Astros game, like I'm gonna root for the home. Or if they're playing the Yankees, obviously root for the Yankees. But I go to a state game, I'll ring a damn cowbell. I'll paint myself maroon. I will get into it.
It's like the best place, in my opinion, to watch a college baseball game. I mean, we hold the top 10 attendance records, and this weekend. They've already sold 20,000 tickets to the game, which will shatter our previous attendance record by like 4,500 people.
Who are you guys playing this weekend?
Ole Miss. Super Bulldog weekend.
Okay. That.
Yep.
What do you guys call it?
Super Bulldog weekend. Biggest weekend in Starkville.
Super Bulldog?
Yep. That's when they do the spring game, football spring game, softball plays at home, and then there's always a big series, and we rotate years. Like Ole Miss will play home once, like 1 year, that'll be Super Bulldog weekend, and then we'll play there, so we'll find another, you know, team to,
yeah,
big series.
So this is just the stars aligning for you to have
absolutely
the best release week you've ever had.
I'm putting out probably one of my favorite songs that I've ever even been a part of.
That's about that directly resonates with the people of Starkville,
yeah, and
your homies,
and being able to play on a big weekend like that. Excited.
Has the show sold out yet?
I really haven't asked yet. I don't want to know. I'm just kind of going to see what happens.
There's that built-in, there's enough of that crowd that's just going to go there. And it is such a walk-up market. Starkville is a very much a walk-up market.
It should be close. If it doesn't, I've got Walker Wilson and Hunter Chastain coming out with me.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. I'm bringing all the bros out for the weekend. I mean, we're going to have a good time. We're going down early, going to go catch the game Friday and cook crawfish and just hang out, man. Just try to enjoy the weekend.
What do you miss most about Mississippi?
Honestly, just kind of the freedom of being in the middle of nowhere. I've always found peace at, like, just turning my radio on and turning down a gravel road and rolling my windows down. And you can't do that here. I mean, I've tried. I have gone as far in each direction as you can possibly think. And I found, you know, some back roads here, but it's just not like home. Just like finding the peace in the middle of nowhere is what I miss about it.
Yeah.
I wasn't big on the city life.
Until I had to make a choice to be. Have you lived in the same spot since you've moved here?
Yeah, I have. We're okay, down right off of Bell Road in Antioch.
Yeah, you're in L.A., the other L.A.
Yeah,
Lower Antioch.
Lower Antioch.
So, yeah, coming from middle of nowhere, Mississippi, on a family commune, basically, to Lower Antioch, you see some stuff.
It's different. Just people up here are different, man. It's just like, I feel like you don't have your just good old country folk up here, like everywhere, like you do. You do in a sense, but like
there are quite a few of you guys and girls here. Like yeah, I'm definitely in the minority, being from up north. Yeah, there's more Southerners down here.
It's just like it's hard to adjust. Like I was so used to being able to go throw up a 10-foot tall bonfire in my backyard.
Yeah,
you can't do that here. It is highly frowned upon. Well, but we've tried it.
You could in Antioch.
Yeah, well,
didn't you come to one of those? Did I bring you to Ryan Nelson's house?
No, Ryan Nelson has told me about his bonfire parties.
I thought I brought you to one. Who did I? It might have been Justin Holt. I brought one of like it was someone that when they had first moved to town, and I brought him over to Ryan Nelson's.
They have a good spot. I like where they're at.
Yeah, it's the redneck frat house and the rotation of guys.
They got
that
the creek in the back.
There.
I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, and I've been over there for some very interesting things because of the location of where it's at is not the best area.
Well, no,
like I've been over there midday and you just said pop 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 and it's like oh.
I mean that's it. That's everywhere in Antioch. You just kind of get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, it is. Where do you, so your local Mexican place is Hacienda, if you're over there. Or actually, you're in Antioch. You can go to any of them taco trucks.
We got the taco trucks, but we have one that's right by where that Nashville State Mall is.
Yeah.
The one that never opened, called Maria Bonita.
Oh, I've been to that one. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I used to live right over there. I lived off of Una Antioch Pike, like right over there off.
So you know where that Thornton's is?
Yep.
I live at that apartment, like right past it.
Oh, really?
Road. Yeah.
You're in an apartment.
Yeah.
So you went from Starkville to
Yeah, dude, that's tough.
I get why it's a different vibe for you up here.
Yeah, it's,
and then
it's
who,
different.
And then who are you living with?
My roommate, Drew Henry.
Oh, okay, yeah, Drew.
Drew's played guitar for me for about 3 years.
Is Drew
now.
From Mississippi as well?
Yep. He's from Belmont, which is about an hour and a half north of me. And me and Drew met off the funniest basis back when I just changed over to the artist thing. A couple of my other guys didn't really like it and left. And I had to find a guitar player in 3 days, and my drummer at the time, Blake, was like, hey, I know this dude. He goes to Northeast. They have this thing called Campus Country, which is what Jamie Davis and a couple of those guys, Jonathan Singleton, were all in this thing. And I was like, all right, cool, man. Send him the set. If he can learn it, you know, cool. We'll just kind of wing it. He's got 2 days. And he learned 40 songs in 2 days and has, like, been my right-hand guy ever since. I mean,
Drew's one of my favorite dudes.
Yeah, Drew is good at what he does, man. And he's been with me ever since that day. As soon as he came out and played that show, I was like, yes, I'm going to keep this guy. Keep him around.
It's important to have guys that are invested in you as an artist.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very important to have that. And, like, you see that with old Sweet Boy and Trey. You know, like someone
sweet
that's...
Sweet Boy.
Like, you do. No, honestly, like, guys that stick with an artist for a while and
for sure
and are invested, and by doing that you keep them involved as part of the
brand.
I think
that's what turns it into a family thing.
Yeah, what's part of the Paxton P show is seeing Drew Henry up there.
Yeah.
It is seeing Logan Millwood
absolutely,
doing his antics.
Hey, those
like,
two.
Like you involve the band in the live show, and that's important with the cover thing because then it takes you guys spread out the load amongst all of you
with the
workload during the cover show. It makes it a lot more manageable.
Especially when you're doing those 4-hour shows, you've got to find a way to
what was your first 4-hour cover gig?
Tin Roof Memphis, and we did it for 2 nights, and the first night really wasn't that bad. You know, I held on pretty good. The second night I'm on hour 3, like, man, I am ready to be out of here, and time changes, so they want us to play another hour because it was during time change.
Oh,
I'm like,
no,
I can't do it, man. I really can't. There's no way I can do this for 5 hours. I really appreciate it. But after that, I mean, you kind of get used to it. And we do some shows now to where they're like the 90-minute set where they're my originals, you know, like opener slot stuff, and then a couple covers. And I love those. But at the same point, like if it's a 30-minute or if it's a 90-minute, I'm still like ready to go. I just feed off the adrenaline from the crowd. It's hard for me to get off.
Yeah.
I don't want to get off the stage sometimes. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. How is, aside from Starkville, because obviously that's number one, where would you rank some of your college towns that are like in your regular circuit? Because you've done a lot in Tuscaloosa. I feel like you've been through Auburn. I'd imagine you've.
I haven't been to Auburn, actually.
Which to me is that's kind of weird to hear that you haven't been at Sky Bar yet.
I haven't been at Sky Bar.
Christian and Kenny been taking all those gigs.
They've been playing those.
they've been doing very well with those.
I don't really do the best with like the acoustic shows. So I try to make sure I can book full bands. I can take the guys out with me and do our thing. Because if we do just like a trio or something, that's not my show in a sense, just because we've done it so long together. If I had to pick somewhere other than Start For, I'm going with Statesboro.
Statesboro?
Yeah, Blue Room, man. What a time.
What was your first show there?
So how'd
you get in? Because everybody has a different way of getting into the Blue Room.
My first Blue Room show was probably 6 months after I moved up here, and William hits me up. He's like, "Hey man, I had a cancellation next weekend. Are you open?" Well, I wasn't, but I was at that point. As soon as he said, "Are you open?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll take it." So I cancel my other gig, get it rebooked, and we go down to Statesboro. And I think it was Syllabus Week. Yeah, it was Syllabus Week in January. So for the second semester, it was Saturday of Syllabus Week. And I've heard all the stories of this place. And we go in. And it's just indescribable. That town loves live music, and it's cool to see. I mean, they show up, and they get down.
Have they started picking up on your originals yet?
Yeah. I've had people actually, like, request them there, which is kind of cool because, you know, you try to limit them at some places. And people, you know, hold the phone trick up. And, like, even some of my older stuff, like, that we really don't play anymore, people ask for, and it's awesome. That town loves country music.
Yeah, where do you guys stay when you go down there?
The luxurious Eagle's Nest.
Is that the one behind?
So, like, you turn out of Blue Room, you go right. That gas station on your left, you take another right, and it takes you back out to the four lane. It's that hotel right on the corner.
Oh, so you do hotel.
Yeah.
Okay,
good old Eagle's Nest, man.
Yeah, the guys, and I think McElwain can confirm this for back in the day, because my first run with Trey, which I've talked about on here plenty, was through States, it was a William Bridwell run through States. It was booked as a cover gig, but obviously the Dick Down in Dallas stuff
was
changed.
Was it Savannah
things.
Statesboro?
Yeah, it was Blue Room and Barrel House back to back, which was a lot of fun. But the guys had it in their way of doing it was doing the Airbnb thing.
We've done it a couple times.
Do you like doing that, or do you prefer the hotel?
I like the hotel just for the simple fact of it's not that much to tear up in a hotel room, I feel like. And Airbnb sometimes, I mean, they have, like, nice stuff. And sometimes we don't have the best crews to put in a nice room.
Who's the biggest wild card?
Logan Millwood.
Yourself.
Logan Millwood or me. It's a toss-up between
Matt,
me and
Matt,
Logan.
Would you confirm that, Matt? Yeah.
That's if... Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it's probably me or Logan Millwood. I mean, it just depends on the night.
So who's the responsible one? Who's like your pseudo kind of TM amongst your crew? I mean, obviously you have Brennan. He's available. When he's available. Well, I feel like Drew could handle
Drew can handle it sometimes, but there's nights that Drew lets loose too. And I've been doing a lot better. Like here recently, like if we have a 3-day run, if it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to kind of take easy. You know, after the show, I'll probably try to get in bed at a decent time. But Saturday is when we'll cut loose.
And it just makes the ride home on Sunday miserable.
It makes the ride home awful. And it's always that ride back from Statesboro that just seems like you're never going to get there.
Because you got to go through Atlanta.
You go through Atlanta, and then you got to stop at Bucky's. And Bucky's takes 45 minutes when you stop there because everybody just wanders and gets random shit from the clothes section or drinks or beaver nuggets. I mean, Bucky's is not the ideal stop for me, but...
That's become a trend on this podcast when I've talked to people about Bucky's.
I love it. I do love Bucky's. I'm not saying I don't, but it just takes too much time.
And the prices of everything have gone up.
Yeah, you paid what, $10 for a brisket sandwich?
Yeah, I remember when that shit was $4.50.
Yeah, I mean they know what they're doing. I mean they're getting people.
I mean it's inflation, man. It's
crazy. They're working. I would rather stop at just somewhere quick. I'm gonna go in. Usually the first stop we make, I get like three or four of whatever I snack on and just leave it. That's kind of how I roll. That way I don't have to go back in again.
So what are some goals for you this year? Because this year's – so you moved up here. You said it was like January of 21?
Moved in August of 21.
August of 21 was when you moved up here. So, yes, you'll be coming up on the two-year mark this summer, which has to be crazy to think about, right?
It doesn't even feel like it's been that long. It's – me and Drew talk about it all the time. I don't feel like I've been here that long.
Well, part of it, too, is the fact that you aren't here on the weekends usually. And ideally, you're not here any weekends because you're out there making money with your
boys. That's the main goal. And most of the time, I couldn't tell you what day it is. I really couldn't. It's same. Just like
I'm starting to be able to now that I'm off the road.
Going on the road on the weekend will ruin your whole next week if you don't get it started on Monday.
And then you have to write, and I know you've been trying, and you and I have talked, we're homies, I look at you like a little brother, we're about the same age, but still, in terms of Nashville, I've been here a little bit longer than you have, and one of the things I remember asking is, how often do you write? And you're like, man, I gotta be writing more, and it's tough when you're on the road, and people want to write on a Monday, but I just want to have that day back in town, and then I gotta play these rounds, I gotta do this, and I gotta book my own shows, and there's a lot of pieces going on right now, but do you find yourself that like you are writing more now than you were?
I have been, and I've been trying to, you know, kind of get my group down in a sense, just because if I'm not going to be able to write as much, I would rather be able to write as much as possible with kind of the people I'm most comfortable with writing wise. And really trying to focus this year mainly on getting songs that I believe in and, you know, getting them out. Obviously still going to do some cover shows here and there, but
you got to pay the bills, bro.
Yeah, I got to pay the bills. But my main focus is, you know, building my music up and building up, you know, that 90 minute or that 30 minute opener set so I can go out and, you know, do what I moved up here to do.
Yeah, what does the calendar look like as far as shows? Obviously Rick's this weekend.
I've got that Rick show. Wow, what do I have? I really couldn't even tell you.
Well, do you have like your rotation of the cover gigs?
I haven't really been doing those as much.
Or is this time of year kind of weird too because school's slowing
down?
That's
when school slows down a lot. And kind of what I'm wanting to focus more on is finding those venues that are okay with, you know, I'm not somebody huge right now, but, you know, let me come in and play that 90 minute or let me do a 2 hour set as close as I can get to doing my show. And trying to find those venues and just kind of beat those places down and keep my music rolling out. That's my goal right now. As soon as I put this song out, every 6 weeks, I'm going to put something else out.
Really?
So, yep.
That's big, man.
I'm excited. I'm so excited for people to hear these songs. Josh killed them, and we have worked really hard for about the past 4 months. I've kind of gotten to where I felt like everybody gets to that point like where you feel like you're just stuck and there's not a whole lot going on because I've been, you know, recording these songs. Haven't been playing as many shows because we've been putting all of our focus really on these next 5 songs. And when they start coming out, we'll be able to get back out there and roll with it. And I'm excited.
Where do you guys record? You guys are recording over at Grady's, right?
Yeah. Yep.
How does it feel different? I mean, Josh's place down in Boaz is a spot that has produced a lot of great music.
Absolutely,
and
man.
If you're in the Southeastern circuit, it's a great way to get an incredible product at a solid price. It's convenient for not living in Nashville.
It helped me get connected with other people. Yeah. Like just other people, like even up here.
I mean, that's who did a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
For Trey.
And Josh has just been, like, since day one, I sent him Missing Mississippi, just the work tape from the day that me and Jordan wrote that song. And he loved it, and he was just like, I can try to squeeze you in next week, and let's see what you think. And he crushed it on that project, and I got all the faith in him. Anytime I find one that I'm ready to work on, Josh is ready to go.
But having the convenience now of just having to drive out to Mount Juliet.
It's nice, and we did it with, like, the live players and all the guys that played on these songs absolutely crushed it. I mean, getting to sit there and watch them do it firsthand and being able to sit there, because when we were doing it down in Boaz, it was hard for me to, you know, kind of have my input. But when we went and worked on these songs, I was in the room and kind of able to express my opinion on what I wanted and how I wanted some certain parts of things to be, and they turned out awesome. I'm so excited,
dude. Well, I'm super stoked for the music to be out. I got a few questions because I knew this would be kind of rowdy. someone says, "Hey, you're playing down on Broadway. You're playing a cover gig, and someone wants to bring you a shot. What do you ask them to bring you a shot of?"
Oh wow. My first reaction here recently is going to be Fireball, just because when I'm playing shows, Fireball.
We've molded you well.
Well, McElwain, actually, I will give McElwain props to this. I was so against Fireball when
I first got back up here. We used to bring you those shots at Live Oak.
And for some reason, I think it was after I went to Kansas City with McElwain, I started drinking it again.
It wasn't just with McElwain. It was McElwain, Terry, and I think pre-sobriety Mitch.
Yeah. They were all out with us, and I got back to where I drink it, so now if I'm going to take a shot, usually I want that. But
if you're drinking to get drunk, it'll get you there.
Now, if I'm drinking a drink, I'm drinking Crown and Sprite with a splash of lime juice in it.
Okay.
And that's my drink.
Cowboy boots or Jordans?
Ooh, man.
That's kind of the world. Man. That's the world that I'm in right now. So I'm rocking the threes right
now. You got yours on, and I almost wore mine today. It kind of depends on the day for me. I really need to do better about keeping my Jordans clean, because I just wore them out
when I first got them. Where do you go on, like, StockX and shit to get them?
Oh, I got an Antioch. Red Rose Hype, man. Best shoe store.
Really?
Yeah, you've got to go. It's off of Harding Place.
We'll have to go sometime.
It's off of Harding Place. Me and Jake Gant, that's where we find all our shoes at.
Okay.
It's a good little secret spot.
I'll have to go with Nikki T. But last time we went to Antioch, we ended up with premium glass, and Nikki bought a pistol. That was our last Antioch trip.
Y'all had a smoke token,
yeah. Bro. No free ads, but if you're in Nashville, 420 is right around the corner. Smoke Token in Antioch, probably the best head shop in Middle Tennessee.
Oh, no doubt.
They've got a phenomenal selection, and they're good people in there,
too. And it's huge.
It's massive. It's like one of the biggest brick and mortar stores in Antioch. Yeah. Which is awesome. Yeah, that day, Nikki and I drove around. We had a business meeting with someone, and then we went to like two or three different head shops. We went and got tacos at Gringas, the Gringas that are on, it's off of what the fuck is it? Nolensville Pike. There's that late night taco truck that's open, and then it's like a trailer.
See, I've never been in one of the taco trucks in Antioch.
Okay, the taco trucks are great. I mean, Nikki used to live in Antioch. I used to live in Antioch. Like when Nikki first moved to town, we were both living there. So we used to get these late night tacos all the time, and it's like they're great. And then we went to the Nashville, what is it? Nashville Armory. Oh, it's not Nashville Armory. Some gun shop that's in Antioch, and it's these two Turkish dudes that are identical twins. And
y'all did
funny.
The most Antioch thing possible that
day. Yeah, we had a great fucking day.
Got a pistol and a
piece. Then we went over to Trey's house, enjoyed our new pieces, and watched Kenny Powers Eastbound and Down.
Oh, y'all had a full day.
On Trey Lewis's new 90-inch television that Matt McElwain hung up for him.
and it's still hanging?
It's still hanging. No, McElwain knows how to hang up a TV.
Yeah.
Hung every TV in that house.
Barbecue or Mexican food?
Man, probably Mexican food.
Okay.
I love a good Mexican restaurant.
Me too.
Like,
cheese dip.
Like, I can eat it every day.
Like a fucking cheese dip, the perfect kind of chip.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fuck me up.
That's probably good. Mexican, no doubt.
That's great.
No doubt about it.
That's great. There's another one. Fuck, I had another one too. We already talked about the liquor. If you had I can do this with you. So we're gonna send it. Kill one, marry one, fuck one.
Oh my god.
Logan Millwood, Drew Henry, Matt McElwain.
Oh my god.
They were females.
If they were females,
I mean, Logan already looks like it, bro.
Logan's already got the long hair.
He does. He's got that slender figure.
All right. So this is a tough one. I'd probably marry Drew. Drew's got
like,
it going.
I feel like Drew is.
I've been with Drew long enough. I mean, we've been
already lived together, so.
I don't know. It's a toss up between Kill on McElwain and Millwood. It depends on who's had the less amount to drink. I'm probably gonna go with, I'd probably kill McElwain and I'd fuck Millwood.
Hey.
It'd have to be that one. If I had to choose, I thought you were gonna hit me with another one.
Another one.
Yeah, like not three of my band members' names, but.
That's what you got to do. You don't want to. I can't ask you about it, like random. Celebrity crush.
Ooh,
make it a little bit easier for you, a little less awkward.
Can I just go basic Jennifer Aniston with it? I mean, that's got to be.
What era of Jennifer Aniston?
Friends, like season six of Friends.
Season six, yeah. Specific.
Yeah, like late Jennifer Aniston, like Friends.
Like
yeah.
in that white T-shirt when yeah, there was that hell when yeah. there was that garbage I mean, shortage
who's,
for.
Who's not? I mean, come on.
See, in that era, I liked because we're around the same. Like we've said we're around the yeah. same age. For me, it was like back in the day, fucking Carmen Electra.
Okay, okay. I mean, that's valid. That's
like
valid.
Well, on the trashier side.
That's valid. That's valid. I'll let you slide with that one.
Favorite bar in Nashville?
Probably Red Door, man, or Live Oak. I love Live Oak. I mean, Live Oak's just kind of been home base for me since I moved here.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Thank you for that. But I mean, it's just kind of, you go to Live Oak and you're going to hear music, which is what obviously yeah. most of us up here want to do. And find people you know. If not, walk down to Red Door. You'll see somebody that you know down there or have bumped into down there before, and you'll be friends.
Yeah. Your dream show to go to as a fan, and then your dream tour to be first of three on. It could be any genre.
To go see one. Probably would be Luke Combs again. I haven't seen Luke Combs probably as long as you have. I think I saw him in Memphis on Beale Street when it was him and Walker McGuire.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the last time. Stood in the rain all day to watch that. And
when it rains, it pours.
Yeah, that was when that song was number one, actually.
Jordan probably got up and sang it with him.
And probably with Hardy, man. Just Hardy would be my...
He's taking you under his wing a little bit, right?
Yes. I actually met him in Omaha when we were at the World Series, kind of chit-chatted for a minute. We were walking out of this bar called Lefty's, and he stopped me again. He was like, hey, I'm going to tell you one thing, and always remember this. And I was just like, okay. Like, no, we've obviously both been drinking, so didn't know it was about to come out of his mouth. And he was just like, when you move to town, work your ass off and never have a plan B, because plan A will never work out. And I've stuck with that since I've been here. Tried to make music my main focus in the most ways possible and try not to have a backup plan, because I don't want to have a backup plan. This is what I moved here for, and this is what I'm the most passionate about in anything in my life right now, is getting these new songs out, and I'm pumped for it, man.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm pumped for you, and I know we give each other a lot of shit, but
no doubt.
I'm grateful and thankful for you, man. And,
absolutely. Thank you for you know, you're one of the sole reasons I ended up moving up here.
Let's go.
I appreciate it.
Love that, man. Who would have thought?
Clubhouse,
baby. Shout out to Clubhouse.
Is that even still a thing?
I'm sure it is, just not in our community. And the whole reason it blew up here was because there was a snowstorm that produced like 6 inches of snow.
Yeah, that's nothing. What I remember sitting on my front steps with my earbuds in, because my girlfriend at the time was like a nurse and working. I was outside trying to like get the scoop, like trying to figure out what's going on in town.
The whole reason it blew, and it got people jobs. It got you to fucking move here. It got fucking our boy Mitch Wallace. It got him his first big industry job was through Clubhouse. Like, and it was big for like 10 days because there was a snowstorm and we couldn't go to the bars.
There was nothing to do.
It was literally the industry that goes to bars every night, just the network. Not even to get fucked up, just the network. It was that.
And it was cool. Just like, I learned so much, believe it or not.
I learned a lot too, and I met a lot of people that I'm glad are in my life now.
And it made me comfortable when I got here, because I didn't know y'all, but I felt like I knew who you were. So shout out to you.
That's been a weird thing about this podcast now is... And being out with Gary and Charlie and being out with Trey, like, we were down in Rome, Georgia a few weeks ago, which I love Rome, Georgia.
Peaches?
We were at Peaches, went down with the Raised Rowdy crew for Corey Kent and Noah Hicks.
Okay.
Great show. Corey packed the place out. Got to see Bradley and Megan, all of our Peachtree friends. And but what's funny, I had four people come up to me throughout the night, either wanting to get a picture with me or they one kid, I forget his name. I have the kid's number in my the kid's name and number in my phone. I have to look it up. But he came up to me and was like, "Hey, this is my buddy so and so. He's going to be on your podcast and play your writer's round one day." I'm in Rome, Georgia, at a show. Not even a Trey Lewis show. Like nothing that I'm affiliated with. And like it's cool to see the southeastern like country community follow what I'm doing with this. What
I was listening to your stuff like before I moved up here. Like I probably have heard every episode.
I'm just starting to notice it now. Yeah. So it's exciting, man. It's fun. It makes me think about what I say on here a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean,
now
that was a big impact on I would say most of my crew like coming up here or how we all met was some way through in the round. Like
so that makes me super, yeah, man. Super proud to hear, man.
Yeah, I mean you're doing big things, and we like watching it.
We're doing it. Okay, it's the McElwain Monday questions. This episode will be out on Friday, release day. Make sure you guys check out Hey Buddy. But tonight we are recording this on Monday, the first ever McElwain Monday. The whole town's talking about it. It's big hype. McElwain's been talking about it for months, such to the point where we were like, me and Nikki T were like, we have to do this so McElwain will shut the fuck up about it.
So it actually finally happened, McElwain.
It's finally happening. How many drinks do you think McElwain has tonight? At the bar, because he's pre-gaming with us before.
Fireball or?
Just drink alcoholic beverages.
Oh, man, I'm going to give him at least 10 beers and probably over 5 fireball shots.
Over 5. Okay. Yeah. We're going to keep track of that tonight.
You're going to take 3 with me.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to try to take one with each round that's up there. So that
is he going to host?
He's hosting. Oh, yeah. He's hosting. It's McElwain
Get him
Monday.
On the mic. Get he this is on man the mic. A mic.
Yeah. He's coming over. We're going over to. He's got to go get a couple things done, and then we're going over to Nikki T's, and we're going to kind of coach him up on how to host the writer's round.
Let's
like what to say, where he'll do all that. And
I'll coach you up on how to shoot that fireball shot.
I think I'll be coaching you on that.
did you like the logo too?
Oh, I loved it. As soon as I got tagged in that, I was like, this is the most on-brand thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
I've been telling people this is the most ridiculous event I've been involved in. And
it's going to be big.
Oh, it's going to be massive over there. I'm excited. I don't think Rusty Nail knows what's coming, which I'm very excited about.
We're coming in full force.
We're coming in full force. Like, we have a lot of degenerate people that like to drink. Matt McElwain has a lot of friends in town. And the fact that it's an ITR Raise Rowdy collab, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Big night.
But I said this is the most like ridiculous thing I've done since my 420 takeover in 2021 when I had Colby Cooper, Pecos, and Dylan Wheeler passing a joint on stage at Live Oak, which I confiscated and then gave to Ryan Nelson.
Well, of all people, who more accepting than Ryan Nelson?
But no, dude, it's I'm excited for you and. Excited to see where the rest of this year goes because it's gonna start clicking. But you're putting all the work and everything into it, man, and people are taking notice of who you are, and when it's the right time, shit's gonna happen,
it's all in timing, man. Like, yeah. I get anxious. I'm a very anxious person.
I am too.
Very anxious.
That's why we've got these.
For real. But I'm trying to just remind myself that it's not my timing, it's God's timing, and just trying to focus on that. And it's hard every day because, I mean, you want to be out there doing it, but you just kind of got to put yourself in the positions to be successful. And that's what I've been trying to take a step back and focus on what areas I want to improve in. And I think we're going to make a run at it here in the next couple of years.
Like old Hardy said. Don't have a plan B or else plan A will never work out.
And I will stick by that and until I die.
Hell yeah. Well, where can people go to find you on all the socials and
all
stuff?
All the socials they're all the same at Paxton P. My last name is spelled P-E-A-Y Music. That's on Instagram. Twitter I'm not as active on, which I should be. I post sports stuff on Twitter.
Me too.
If you want to see me post and talk about sports, go to my Twitter. But Instagram and TikTok are where I'm the most active at.
Sweet. And then the music is on all streaming platforms. Look up Paxton P. The new single is out right now, Hey Buddy, a song that'll tug at your heart strings and make you feel something. So be sure to check out our boy Paxton P. Be on the lookout too if you're in the southeast or really anywhere in the country. Him and his band of heathens will be rolling up to a town near you. If you're in Starkville, Mississippi, and you're watching this, make sure you guys pop out and as part of your Superdog?
Super Bulldog.
Super Bulldog weekend. Go see our boy Paxton at the Mecca, the most famous thing in Starkville, Mississippi, Rick's Cafe. Shout out to Rick, too. We love you, Rick.
Shout out, Rick, and man. Thank you for everything.
I hope you watched this episode. I'm sure you did. And, yeah, but be sure to check out our boy Paxton P. New song, Hey Buddy. It's out right now. Appreciate you guys checking out the podcast. Check out our friends from Saxman Studios, Whale Tail Media, our boy Mitch Wallace with The Digital Marketing Agency. If you're looking for merch to get made up, hit up our friends at Big Friendly Productions. And, of course, our new friends at Bud Light. Well, that's all for this episode. Appreciate y'all watching. For Sweet Boy behind the camera, my name is Matt Brill. This has been the In the Round podcast.